Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Welcome back to the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler-Merkin. And today we're going to dive deep into one of the most important aspects of running a flower farm, and that is crop planning. So whether you're just starting out or you're scaling your business, knowing how to plan your crops for the season is crucial. So we're going to talk about how to structure your flower offerings, manage bloom times, and make sure you have the right amount of flowers for your needs. One thing that I do want to talk about is if this is your first season, I do want you to listen to this. I want you to listen. I want you to take some notes, pay attention. If you are positive that you want this to be profitable and you are going all in and this is your plan, then yeah, take note and do the things I talk about. But if you're just dabbling, not sure if this is something you even want to do, then don't get too overwhelmed by it. But the thing is, crop planning is what is going to make or break your profitability. It's going to let you sleep at night knowing you have enough of the right amount of flowers. But more importantly, as you continue to grow more expensive, more premium flowers, and you know, if you start doing more offerings and you end up having to hire help, it's expensive to have too many flowers, okay? The thing is, cut flower farming, you know, so many of the flowers, the more you cut them, the more they continue to grow and bloom and produce more flowers. And ultimately, now you have to waste time and resources, aka money. Time is money, whether you're doing it yourself. Now you can't do other things that are more profitable, or you're paying someone to do it. Deadheading flowers, all of those things, putting into the compost bin, being reactive instead of proactive. And so that's why this is so important. But I don't want you to get super overwhelmed if this is seeming like way too much for you. But if you're serious about being profitable, then please, please take notes. So first of all, we're going to talk about flexible versus not flexible timing of your offerings. So when it comes to crop planning, one of the first things is the timing. And some of your offerings are flexible and some are not. So let's talk about things that are not flexible. Weddings, Mother's Day, Easter, Valentine's Day, if you're in a warmer climate, those are fixed dates that come every year. The weddings, you know, the bride sets the date, and you need to make sure that you have the right flowers for those events. You cannot move those dates around, and you have to just plan for them in advance. But on the flip side, there are some very flexible offerings that you have control over. And one of those things is subscriptions. I see it all the time in Facebook groups, flower farming groups, and people are like, when do you do your subscriptions? And it's like, those are the one things that are flexible, and that needs to be entirely uniquely based on your farm, the type of flowers that you grow, the zone that you're in, and honestly, your schedule. I actually, this year, and I have an episode coming out of all of our big changes, because I've hinted on it a lot. I mean, the private PPP podcast, I talk about it, but we are making some major changes to our flower farm. We're building a pretty big flower shop, event space, workspace, and we're just changing things around. Our subscriptions from mid-June to the first week of August, we don't have any. And I've always had July subscriptions before that with like sunflowers and zinnias and snapdragons. I've always had a July subscription. But this year, I'm like, you know what? We're going to need a little break. We're going to need a reset. We can have custom orders as we need it. We'll have some things blooming, but I'm not going to plan for a bunch of things to be blooming in July because it's going to be still like major construction. Our building should be done, you know, hopefully, knock on wood, late July, early August. But I'm not going to try to mess around with having a subscription in July. So subscriptions are something that you can schedule them around when your flowers are actually blooming. And if you grow a variety of flowers and manage your bloom times well, you can make sure the bouquets are fresh and seasonal. You know, you just have a little bit more wiggle room to adjust your harvest and your offerings. So that is flexible versus not flexible timing of the actual offerings. Next, I want you to think about bloom times. So this is where crop planning really comes into play. So there's a couple ways to do this. So first of all, succession planning can be a huge game changer. So by planting different varieties of flowers at different times, you can stagger your bloom periods and ensure that you have fresh flowers coming constantly. I actually do about, I think we've got about 600 Lysianthus that we're planting this week in the high tunnel. And then 4 weeks from now, I have another 600 coming. And then 4 weeks after that, I have another 600 coming. So just to kind of guarantee that we constantly have that Lysianthus, honestly, for our weddings that we have late July, August, September, I want to have constant Lysianthus. So succession planning can be huge for those flowers that are not cut and come again. Taking a quick break from today's episode to share a little bit about my work as a professional speaker. In the next few months, I'm headed to Peoria, Illinois to speak to a room full of insurance professionals with a talk that I call What's the Worst That Can Happen? It's a no-fluff pep talk on the importance of life insurance backed by real life experience. Then I'll be in Western North Dakota a few months later at Fusion Conference, sharing how I built my thriving business by going deeper, not wider, with my customers, showing entrepreneurs and leaders the power of meaningful customer relationships over chasing every opportunity. Then a few months after that, I'll be speaking at the Forum of Executive Women here in Minnesota, encouraging women in business that it's okay if you don't want to niche down. You can build an ecosystem, a life and business that reflects all of who you are. If your group, conference, or company needs a speaker who brings heart, humor, and hard-earned wisdom, someone who leaves audiences both fired up and deeply grounded, let's connect. I speak both in person and virtually all over the U.S. You can visit LizFidlerMergen.com to learn more, and I look forward to hearing from you. So then let's get into those flowers that are cut and come again, like zinnias, snapdragons. You can cut them, and then they'll often keep producing more blooms. So something that's important to note is how long your flowers can last in a cooler. And if you don't have a cooler, I'm going to tell you, I do think that that is something that, you know, can you have a profitable and successful business without one? Absolutely. You definitely can. But it's really, really helpful to have a cooler. Tulips and peonies, if you cut them at the right time, they are perfect for weddings and events where longevity is less of a concern. And so I will keep them in the cooler for like a month before I need to use them because they're more for event work. Lysianthus and ranunculus, I've kept them in water in the cooler for a couple weeks if they're for event work. Like I said, if they're going to be used for a wedding, for centerpieces, whatever, where if they don't last as long, they're fine. But if I'm planning on using those for subscriptions or a bouquet that needs to last a long time, then I only want them in the cooler for about a week. Same thing with, you know, status, sunflowers, bupleurum, snapdragons. I'll have them in the cooler for about a week if you cut them at the right time. So here's something also interesting to keep in mind with your crop planning. Different flowers have different picking windows. So sunflowers, tulips, peonies, they all need to be cut before they're fully open or they'll need to be used right away. So on the other hand, Lysianthus, ranunculus, snapdragons, stock, you typically have around a 24 to 48 hour window where you can pick things. And that's where we will go through roughly every other day on those flowers and pick everything that's ready and then give it a day to rest, give us a day to rest. And then we rotate things in the cooler, kind of a first in, first out little math thing to use the oldest up first. Keep in mind that if you are new to the podcast or just a refresher, we do a lot of episodes. They're always titled, Should You Grow This? So part of that Should You Grow This series, we talk about one thing is like the harvest window of a lot of these flowers. Every year I have teachers that reach out to me, and a lot of teachers that I know have completely given up on growing tulips. They're like, you know what? I just need the summer annuals. If I'm going to be a teacher and have a job from September through late May, then, you know, it just makes sense for me to, you know, get the garden planted early May, depending on what zone they're in. Because the thing about tulips is you have to pick them when they're ready to be picked. So if you only have flexibility from 5 a.m. to 7:30 a.m., And again, from 4:30 p.m. to 8 p.m., that's not going to be enough because those flowers are going to blow wide open during the day when you're at your 9-to-5 job. So just keeping in mind that different flowers have different windows of picking. Next, we are going to talk about the math behind crop planning. And I love math. So I have spreadsheets. I'm a math nerd. I got an A in advanced biostatistics during grad school. Like, I love math, statistics, probability, formulas, all of those things. I thought about being a math teacher, but realized that I'm so chatty that that would not be a good setting for me. I would never get anything done. So how do you figure out exactly how many flowers you need to grow for the season? Well, that comes down to calculating the numbers. So I want you to start by making a calendar. Figure out how many bouquets you need for each week, how many stems you need per flower, per bouquet. For example, how do you know if you need 200 snapdragons or 400 snapdragons? Do you need 50 dahlias or 500? So this process really isn't as complicated as it sounds. Figure out when those flowers are blooming, during what weeks, and then figure out how many bouquets you need during those weeks. Trust me, I did this all by myself. It took me probably 20 hours to get it all on a spreadsheet. But once you have the system, it's predictable and you can customize it. So I'm going to talk a little bit about my exact process in my crop planning course. But really, I just told you exactly what it is. It's not rocket science, but it's going to be really time consuming. Definitely keep in mind when you know what things you're going to need to sell and then how many stems per plant, etc. And so I actually, in my crop planning course, I offer it, or we have examples of three different size farms and you get access to all of them. So there's a small farm, a medium farm, and a large farm. So no matter what size you're working with, you can adapt the strategies. So here's the deal. So I'm going to tell you what you get when you purchase the crop planning course. But before I tell you that, I'm going to tell you what you really get. And that's peace of mind from knowing all of my mistakes, other farmers' mistakes, because I reached out to a lot of other farmers and found out what they grow or how many or what they predict. Maybe you just offer some tulips in the spring and then a subscription in the summer. But ultimately, it's meant to be a shortcut. The first 20 people who sign up for the crop planning course, normally it's $99. The first 20 people, the link is set to automatically quit working once 20 people sign up. You can get it for only $30. And that is in the episode notes. So if it does not work, that means we've already hit the 20 spots. So you got to pay full price. So don't wait. But let me tell you what you get in the course. And you're going to get a step-by-step guide on how we crop plan for our six-figure sales farm. Now, one caveat, that does not include all of the wedding work we now do. Okay, so this was based on a farm with $148,000 in revenue, not including, you know, holiday offerings, wholesale offerings, porch pots, stuff like that. $148,000 in actual revenue of actual flowers that I grew myself on this farm. So spoiler alert, that's what it was 2 years ago because I created this course last year. But we're also going to walk you through a small farm that has 370 bouquets a year at $8,000 in revenue, a medium farm with 1,200 bouquets per summer, and that's $40,000 in revenue, and then my example of $148,000 revenue with 4,900 bouquets. So it's covered in six different video modules. I give you a copy of the exact spreadsheet we use. You can adjust it to yourself. And if you're not tech savvy, that's no big deal. You can use a pen and paper. Just apply the principles. But that's the whole point, is that you can help it grow for you. So if you are struggling with your offering and you're not sure how to plan for sales, then my Peddling Perishable Products course, The Foundations of PPP, dives really deep into systems and planning and how you transition a seasonal business into predictable year-round income. So I would love for you to join that community and, you know, get the support that you need. And if you're not sure if this is right for you, you can schedule a free 15-minute phone call with me to ask questions and learn more about what's best for your business. For today's episode, remember, with a little planning, a little organization, you can make sure you're growing the right flowers at the right time. So making your farm more efficient, taking the guesswork out of sales, and don't forget to check out the link in the episode notes for this amazing offer. So as always, bloom and grow, and we will see you next week, every Monday, Flower Farmer Forum. Thanks. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at Sunny Mary Meadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.